know me. Everybody pass me by.
Robert Johnson, everybody. You can run. Crossroads.
You play that one for Cody?
John, the video here on YouTube just randomly has a picture of Angelina Jolie.
Well,
which I can't complain about, really, but, you know, there's an angel, there's some barbed wire, there's an old bluesman in front of his house, and then there's Angelina Jolie.
I suppose if you want people to check out a YouTube video, you need to attract eyeballs as well as ears.
Well, I think you'd just play some good damn music if you wanted to attract people to your Robert Johnson song. But that's just me, everybody. All right, the Brian Vinny Show is back today. I know some of you missed it. They also spelled Robert Johnson's name J-H-O-N-S-O-N.
Maybe it's Johnson.
I don't think that is correct. 8-year-old guitar prodigy stuns audience? Should I play this?
Sure.
Let me check this out.
By chance, is it a long-haired Asian fellow?
He's not a long-haired Asian fellow.
I saw a kid on Ellen playing Crazy Train. It was pretty ridiculous.
If you've ever heard a child playing a musical instrument, you know it can be a painful experience. Well, not in the case of this youngster.
He's playing the blues, too.
Yes, he is.
What 8-year-old has the blues?
This kid from Elkhorn is billed as the youngest performing blues guitarist in the world. Here he is on stage at Milwaukee's Schenck Hall yesterday. He's already playing gigs and racking up endorsement deals at the age of 8. I traveled to Walworth County to talk to, but mostly listen to, guitar prodigy Talon Latz.
This kid can play. Future of the blues, it asks. And he crunches his face up and looks really blue.
The guitar is almost bigger than he is, but Talon Latz, alias T-Man, handles the riffs like an old pro. While other second graders may be watching video games or playing out in the snow, he's practicing
T for Tyke, I presume.
2 to 3 hours a day, and he never gets tired of it.
No. Never.
What about that?
Ever.
Talon Latz is his name. That sounds like a pseudonym. Talon Latz?
Sounds like a Dungeons and Dragons character.
They don't even spell it T-A-L-O-N. It's like T-A-L-L-A-N.
I don't know what it sounds like. Sounds like a blues player.
Hello, everybody. We're going to talk about WrestleMania for a bit and get Vince's thoughts on the show as a live event. We're going to talk about Raw last night with the announcement of next year's main event of WrestleMania. Are you going next year, Vinny?
Almost certainly, yeah.
Yeah, you missed out this year.
I am aware that I missed out this year.
What an epic fail it was for you this year.
Well, things happen in life, and you can't always do what you want.
What happened?
You really want to know?
You didn't buy a ticket?
Buy a ticket. But, yes, half financial and half just life intervened.
I see. So, yeah, we're going to go next year, everybody. It's going to be a fun time. Mr. Hialeah, Senior Hialeah, is already working on rooms on the beach. If you don't go, unless life intervenes or it's a financial issue, if you don't go, I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say. Everybody to a person. I can't even say to a man. There were plenty of ladies there. Everybody had a great time, I think. If anybody didn't have a great time, I need to be alerted to this so I can find out what the hell went wrong and who I need to chastise, whether it be Ed. I can see Ed making someone's time down there, perhaps uncomfortable, you know? Of course you know.
A subset of the population, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, go next year, everybody. All the information, there's already a thread up on the board, believe it or not. There's already a thread for, well, I shouldn't say believe it or not, since they already have a main event. But there's already a thread up on the board. You can go up there and check out what's going on. Get all the scoops. Get information about rooms and that sort of thing. We're going to get a hotel. All of us will have a hotel together. unless you get a hotel elsewhere, but it's going to be nice. I've taken a look at it so far, and suffice to saying, you will be pleased. If you're a freeloader, though...
You won't get the info.
No, you won't get the info. It's in the members-only section. So, if ever there was a great time to sign up... And by the way, as of today, I just want to thank everybody. We've hit our new record. Always happens around WrestleMania time. And we have hit our new record. We've actually shattered last year's record. So, things are going pretty well here at the Empire. And they're going to be going pretty well next April as well. April Fool's Day. When we're all going to be at WrestleMania. In the dirty South. Although I was told by Carl, many people don't consider Florida the South. But I've been to Florida, and believe me, it is the South. So, with all that said, Vinny, what did you think of WrestleMania on television?
I don't feel too differently about how you felt. It was, you know, not a lot of good wrestling. There were two matches that I would consider above your average SmackDown match. And
I've got to blow my nose. You keep
somehow,
talking.
Somehow, despite this, this four-hour-long stretch of disappointing mediocre wrestling, due to the spectacle and grandeur of the entire thing, it still clearly felt like the biggest show of the year. I was watching it as with a party of a total of three. There's myself, who is of course a wrestling freak, one guy who's a casual fan who watches shows now and then, and one guy who had not watched a wrestling show start to finish in years. And we all felt the show had its ups and downs, but none of us felt ripped off or like we wasted time or our time watching it or insulted. So yes, WrestleMania gets a thumbs up. I don't know where Brian went to blow his nose. This house is, granted, it's big, but there's bathrooms scattered throughout. You'd think he'd be back by now. I guess the controversy of WrestleMania is, what did you think of the Triple H Undertaker match? That is what people... He's back. But I got feedback from people who... Most people loved it. I have talked to people who absolutely passionately hated it. And I am somewhere in the middle. Watching it live... I thought to myself, this is really just a pale imitation.
Hold on a moment.
Yes.
Passionately hated it?
I have talked to people who thought it was the worst match on the show.
Who are these dipshits? Are they listening
check?
Right now?
They might be. They're paying customers.
Really?
Yeah.
I just insulted them.
You did.
Name
That's
a couple of these people.
Bill Barnwell?
Really?
Yeah.
I like Bill Barnwell.
Actually, I take it back. He did specifically say it was not the worst match in the show, but he did say he and his friends hated it.
Really?
What the match...
So that's the only example you've come up with, however?
There was... perhaps when I said I spoke with was not true. People in the feedback, if you've read the feedback on your own site.
I try to avoid that.
I see. There were people who did not like that match.
Bill Barnwell really thought this was the worst match
on
the show?
He did not. I take that back. Because he said we hated it, and I said... Some people have called it the worst match on the show, and he said, well, I wouldn't go that far.
Hmm.
What it was, if by any chance anyone listening to my voice did not see this match, if you go to the front page and you go to the newsletter and you read Brian's review, it is... Brian's review is like a move-for-move recap of the match, and they did it over 30 minutes. There was lots of drama. There was lots of insanely violent stuff I can't believe these two broken old men did. There was great theater, there was great emotion, and there was also long stretches where goddamn nothing was happening. I think, personally, this match would have been a hell of a lot better if it had been 10 minutes shorter.
Hmm.
And that was... It felt like everything I had seen before. Like I said, it felt like almost... Except for the fact that Hunter uses a pedigree instead of a super kick, it felt like a knockoff of the Shawn Taker matches. I would still go... 4 stars. I would still go the best match in the show, but I don't think it was an all-time classic. It certainly was not the best match I saw this weekend.
To confirm, Bill Barnwell did not find this to be the worst match on the show.
No, I think I can actually look up the Google chat we had, but I'm almost positive he did use the words that they hated it, the people he was watching it with.
Hmm. Who were these people? Was he watching it at the Impact Zone or something?
I don't think so.
I want to know then the people who found this to be the worst match on the show.
Let's see what I can find here.
So whoever you are out there, you thought this was worse than Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole?
I didn't.
That seems to be impossible to me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Yeah, no, it, like I say, it was the best match in the show. I think you overrated it in your review. It was not. I actually, when you said it was on par with the first Shawn Taker match, I actually got angry. And I noticed that that match is available on WWEClassics.com right now for like $4. I'm going to watch that sometime this week just to remind myself of what a fool you are.
No, Vinny, what you should have done was you should have gone.
Well, I don't...
Because let me tell you, I will say this again. I said this on Sunday night. I, on this show, when talking about the angle last week, I asked the question, why would you do an angle where Shawn Michaels admits that Triple H cannot win? Because nobody thinks that Triple H can win. So what is the point of having Shawn Michaels confirm that? Wouldn't you want someone to say that Triple H has a chance to win? Nobody in the world, I said, believes that Undertaker is going to lose this match. Well, there was a spot in this match where Triple H gave the Undertaker a pedigree. And he crossed the Undertaker's arms, and he whipped his hair back, and he rolled his eyes up in his head, and as God is my witness, 71,713 fans, or however many people there were in that building, all leaped to their feet, those that weren't already on their feet, jumping up and down and screaming that the Undertaker had just lost and the streak was broken. That is astounding. Absolutely astounding. I could not believe this near fall. It was ridiculous. And then they kept going, and you had to be there. This was one of those matches, if you didn't think this was a great match, then you had to be there. Because live, this was like one of the great matches of all time. This match was so awesome live. It's ridiculous. And it is an open-air, it's not an open-air building, but it's a big-ass building.
It's a huge building.
It's a big-ass building. And I got tweets, I got tweets throughout the show from people that were saying, like, is this coming across as dead live as it is on television? And my answer in pretty much every situation, except for a couple, was, no, this is coming across great live. So it may have been an issue with the size of the building, which happens often. I mean, in Japan, it's notorious. The light heavyweight matches at the Tokyo Dome never get over because it's a giant cavernous building. And you do that same match in a small building and the people go nuts. Do that same match in a large building, and it looks like people are just watching the match. It's a totally different atmosphere. Just for an example, you watch an ROH or a Dragon Gate match. You can watch a great match in front of a crowd that's very, very quiet and small, and you put that same match in front of a crowd that's going nuts, the match is going to seem 10 times better. So, believe me, I don't think there was anyone there. Well, maybe there were. I guess they'll post in the thread for this show. But if you were there at this event, this match blew your mind.
All right. Not us. In fact, I actually went back on Monday just to make sure that I had not been, that I wasn't being an idiot. But maybe this really was the best match we've seen in years, and I should double check this. And no, I stand by it. It was really, really good. It was the best they could do considering the condition they're both in. It really went way too long. It should have been shorter. And that's that. The other thing I want to talk about, I was literally right after I ordered the pay-per-view through the remote, literally right after that, I'd heard that Daniel Bryan and Sheamus were not going to be on the show. And I was pissed. So I went into this going, what could they cut? What was on the show that was so important they had to have that? And in fact, they used all 4 hours of pay-per-view time.
Mm-hmm. To the minute.
Yes. I believe it went 3 hours and 59 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So the people afterwards were saying things like, I didn't get to see Daniel Bryan. They could have cut Snoop Dogg, or they could have cut Pee-wee Herman. And without getting into whether or not those were entertaining, if you cut those, you now have time for a 4-minute Daniel Bryan match.
Which we got on Raw, which wasn't really all that good.
It was not that important, no. So when people think of things that should have been cut, well, I mentioned I thought Taker and Hunter went too long, but Jesus Christ, the Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole thing. That segment, from Michael Cole coming out and starting to cut his promo, to the end, after Booker had been stunnered and Lawler and Austin were partying in the ring, 29 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
That went too long.
Oh my God, that went 3 times as long as it should have. So, yes, that was where WrestleMania, I guess I can't say failed. It wasn't a failure of a show, but that was where the show went off the tracks. That whole segment went way too long. It had too much going on and was ridiculously overbooked. All I needed was...
It wasn't overbooked. It just involved...
Michael Cole should never...
Beating up Jerry Lawler for a long time.
Michael Cole, and at no point in that match should Michael Cole have been on offense. And I'm not just saying that because his offense sucks, although it did. Just, he didn't need to get the heat. He had gotten the heat in the prior month. This should have just been the comeback and the finish. So that sucked. Other than that, Edge and Del Rio was good. Was it significantly better than the Christian Del Rio matches that have been on SmackDown? Not really. It was an average, maybe an above average SmackDown main event. Matches like Ray and Cody and Punk and Orton, I thought were fairly average TV matches, except they had clean finishes. The core thing sucked. The Snoop Dogg skit, I think this is pretty much what you said. I thought that was awesome until Hornswoggle started rapping.
Yeah.
And there are people who say that rapping takes no talent. Clearly it does, because Hornswoggle does not have it.
No one had any idea what that was all about.
That was, yeah. Up until then, it was great. The Pee-wee thing, I didn't hate as much as you did. Just didn't need it. Hall of Fame thing, it was what it was. Cole and Lawler sucked. And then we had the buffer match with the girls. We were also, I may have popped more for Snooki than I did for anything in Hunter and Undertaker.
What has happened to you?
Simply because, whereas I thought everything in Hunter and Taker I thought I had seen before, I did not expect Snooki to pull off that move. The round-off back handspring, is that what it's called?
That is what it's called.
I would have bet $1,000 she could not have done that. But she did. So that caught me off guard, and then it ended, so whatever. And then Miz versus Cena. The two production elements on the show that blew my mind in a good way. Hunter's entrance for his match with Undertaker was like the greatest thing I ever saw. Just phenomenal stuff. And then this Miz video. Perfection. An art form perfected before my eyes here.
On a show we already bought.
Yes, maybe. Well, not maybe. Putting it on Raw would have sold more shows. That is true. But seeing it here,
hold on. Yeah.
What did I say?
I just I don't even care what you say at this point. But the idea that you said putting on the show would sell more buys, but there should be no but. Put this goddamn thing on Raw and sell more shows.
Well,
jackasses.
That's not a bad idea. But when it came on, this is a match, and maybe this is just back up your argument. It went from being something I could not care about, featuring a champion who I thought was a waste of time, and I was happy to think that his reign would come to an end, to Jesus Christ, Miz is the fucking man, and he has come from the absolute bottom to the main event of the biggest show of the year. He's a goddamn fucking star. I think I did just make your argument for you. I believe I did.
Yeah, and then what happened?
He had a match. I also, since I had watched Hunter Taker, I watched this again just to make sure it was not as bad as I thought. It was a very, very bad WrestleMania main event. It was not the worst match of the year or anything. It was lousy. I suspect that they got, maybe half their time cut, because they were clearly calling things on the fly. There was a lot of miscommunication where they weren't sure what to do. And
John Cena has been wrestling for a decade.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's still not that good.
No. You know, we've watched 24/7 from like the first year of John Cena's career in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
He's exactly the same in the ring.
Largely. Yes. He's
How can you, like, Vinny, you got better over 10 years.
I did.
What does that tell you?
I don't have an answer.
What does that tell you?
I don't know how, you know, John Cena calling things on the fly, you would think he'd be better than he is. But it looked like they got their time cut, and so rather than adjust what they had planned, they just literally chopped off the first 10 minutes and jumped right into Miz having
the
heat.
No, they didn't, actually. because they went out there and they started exchanging holds. And I'm watching this, and first off, you know, they come out at a half past the hour, and then first they do the fucking video packages, which, yes, they were great, but you had to cut time out of the match with two guys that apparently aren't able to cut time out of a match on the fly to show a video package that you should have aired on Raw anyway. Then we've got I shouldn't say the goddamn choir, but for Christ's sake, the choir. Then you have the choir, and they finally get in the ring for the match, and it's like 20 minutes till the top of the hour. And so they get in there, and I think, okay, well, you know, the Rock thing has got to go, you know, at least 5 minutes, maybe 10. So you know, they've got, I don't know, maybe they got 9 minutes to have a match. So then they start doing holds. There's a headlock.
Yes.
There's a arm drag.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so you couldn't just, like, the bell rings and you start brawling and you go right to the heat? You know? Do you really need to exchange holds here at the beginning of this main event? I don't know. It amazes me sometimes that John Cena, I feel bad because, you know, everybody hates John Cena, and I always try to be fair on this show. I know people find that hard to believe. I've never really had a problem with Cena. I don't really give a fuck that he's a babyface and everyone boos him. Whatever they want to do, it doesn't really bother me. But of late, I mean, it's really started to get on my nerves. It's taken a long ass time to get on my nerves. But between this whole still being so shitty in the ring, that yes, you could be carried by a great worker, okay? After 10 years in the business, if you can't be carried by a fucking great worker, I don't know what to tell you. This is not a positive that John Cena can be carried by a great worker. After 10 years, he should sure as shit be better than he is right now. This ain't Hogan, where, like, Hogan was tall, and, you know, he got a lot of injuries, and he got progressively less mobile as the years went by. John Cena's, like, I don't know, 34, something like that. You know, he should still have a lot of time left. It's not like he's been wrestling for 20 years. He's been doing this for maybe, like, 10 on the big stage, something like that. And to not get any better, he's still as shitty as he was the first year he came up when everybody saw him come off Ohio Valley TV and they were like, you came up too early. You know, to not have improved hardly at all during that period. You know, to go back and look at him when he first came up and say, there's nothing that has changed. He's wearing jorts now as opposed to wacky trunks and tights or whatever. That's the only thing that's changed. And he's got a less shitty hairstyle. You know, to look back and see that. And then all of this shit on Raw where he fucking loses in the main event at WrestleMania because Rock beat him up. And he comes out on Raw all jocular, all smiling and happy, and nothing bothers him.
Nope.
And as somebody noted, I didn't even notice this yesterday, when he came out and he said he never wanted to have a match with Miz again.
Yeah, I did hear that.
What? So let me get this straight. So The Rock fucked you out of a match at WrestleMania. You lost a championship match in the main event of WrestleMania to The Miz. And you come out on TV, you're not even mad at The Rock, and you don't ever want to have a match with Miz again? So why are you here?
I don't know.
Why don't you go do what you bitch to Rock about doing and just go make movies? If you don't care that much. So yeah, I've tried to be fair to John Cena for a long time, but I don't know. It's really getting on my nerves of late.
Yeah, I was not certainly not a good weekend for him. Yeah, but that was Mania. It was, like I say, it felt like the biggest show of the year, but sure was not the best show of the weekend.
And Miz! I'm not going to do the usual Miz rant here. This is a completely different rant. What were they thinking with that clothesline over the guardrail? When Miz is actually sitting on the dasherboards and Cena gives him a clothesline.
Yeah, I remember.
And he fucking takes a flat back bump,
and
doesn't tuck
his
head, and smashes the back of his head on the cement.
I don't know. How
long have you been doing this? Tuck your chin!
Yeah. No, I agree.
I feel bad for the guy that he got a concussion, but Jesus Christ, what were you thinking with that spot? Both of you. Everybody involved with this. Man, I've got some vitriol in me today.
Anything
else on WrestleMania?
I don't think so. We talked about the skits, the entrances. The only thing I think, the other thing is that I don't understand why after the Edge match, he and Christian beat up the car. And I mean beat up the car. He kicked it. I guess he eventually got a crowbar, but dropping an elbow on the car. First of all, it was a total heel move to do. I mentioned I was with some casual friends watching the show, one who had not seen a wrestling show in a few years, he was desperately confused as to whether Edge was a babyface or heel at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The beat the guy, beat up his whole posse, and then destroyed his property.
Yeah.
Confusing and strange. So, other than that, yeah, I think we talked about everything.
Raw.
Monday Night Raw ended with one match booked and one match hinted for next year's WrestleMania, and yet nothing even suggested for Extreme Rules in 4 weeks. That was my first reaction.
Well, they announced some stuff on SmackDown.
Apparently. As far as the Cena Rock match goes, I'm happy about that just because I actually said to my friends, maybe they could stretch this out and do it next year at Mania Miami. And they thought I was a fool. No! I am smart.
Hmm.
Yes. Proof. So.
I do like how you said stretch it out, and that's really not what they're doing. They've just announced it a year in advance. You really think Rock's going to be back anytime soon?
Of course not. No.
I predict Rock returns in November, like right before they put WrestleMania tickets on sale. And I don't think you'll see him until then.
You're probably right. You certainly won't see him often.
Yeah.
So Raw opened with Jim Ross being there, which is phenomenal. I guess I didn't mention him. Yeah, Jim Ross called the first match on Raw in the last half of WrestleMania, and hey, guess what? He's still great. Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler.
And that's being caught completely off guard by half of this stuff, at least.
Yeah. It was just... the big thing was he was talking... he also noticed that John Cena kind of sucked and was trying to recover for him, saying he's had his bell rung, he's rattled, he's clearly not in his right frame of mind. So that kind of thing went...
So that's the problem.
It's something. When the tombstone spot where Undertaker kicked out, which was a... Don't get me wrong, that was a great spot. And Hunter... I don't know if you could tell from your seat, but Hunter responded by backing up to the ropes and staring at Taker in dread and fear. Like, this is not human. This beast I'm in the ring with. And Drost started screaming... Not he kicked out or the streak's alive. He just screamed, "My God, what did we just see?" Awesome. So, yes, he's the man. He opened Raw. I thought it would be permanent. It was not, and there wasn't even really a good reason it was not. Hunter came out for a promo. He said in this promo, and this is a quote, "I've wrestled The Undertaker before. I've wrestled The Undertaker at WrestleMania before."
I think there's a lot of people that are getting a lot of wrestling words.
You know, I understand that, and the vast majority of these guys, you know, they've wanted to be wrestlers their entire life, and I can see the day when Hunter takes power, and the first thing he does is walk down to the ring and say, "We're fucking wrestling now. This is a belt. We are wrestlers." There. Anyway. So he talked about everything Taker would do. He would destroy himself to preserve the streak. So he was not a phenom or a supernatural, but what I saw getting carried on out of that arena on a stretcher was a man. And at this point, they cut to a crowd shot, and they showed like at least a dozen people. But there was one guy in the lower left corner who somehow knew he was on camera. And you just see one guy in this crowd hold up his fist, open his eyes as wide as possible, and to stare into the camera. I need me a gif. Yeah. I need a gif of this man. He's wearing a what shirt, holding his fist in the air, looking into the camera. It was awesome. So he said people thought Undertaker might not be back. We may have seen the last of him.
Do you have Gmail, by the way?
I do.
This has nothing to do with anything, but as
I was going
to
say,
listening to you, I'm looking at my Gmail, and at the top of Gmail here, there's a little yellow banner, and it just says, and I quote, "Coming soon, better ads in Gmail."
Oh, well.
And I'm supposed to be excited. Why?
I have the same banner. It's blue in mine, but I have the mountain theme.
Hmm.
But yes, better ads in Gmail. Oh, learn more. I can spend time reading about this.
Well, let me do that while you talk about Raw, since I've already reviewed it.
Hide. I've lost my notes. They're there. So finally, Hunter said, "Thank you to Undertaker in case he didn't come back." But he thought Taker would be back. He would not be able to resist the magic they felt. He would be back, and Hunter would be waiting.
Yeah. All right.
Tell me about the ads.
Here we go. Coming soon, better ads in Gmail. Fewer irrelevant ads. How exciting. Gmail's importance ranking applied to the ads. You gotta be kidding me. And offers and coupons for your local area. Wow.
They couldn't have just implemented these changes.
No.
They boast. It's
like teasing Rock a year in advance.
I guess so. New ads.
Rock and John Cena at WrestleMania 2012. And coming soon, better ads in Gmail.
Yes.
All right.
So, at this point, Jim Ross turned to Jerry Lawler, began asking about his first WrestleMania match.
I got more. Only a few users will notice these changes to begin with. Oh, well, thanks for alerting me, then.
Yes.
And then it actually says this. As always, ads in Gmail are fully automated. No humans read your messages. So, in other words, there is not a crew of men that go through and read your emails and then write the ads based on what is in your emails. It is all fully automated. Fascinating.
Breaking news.
Go on.
Before Lawler could talk about his first Mania match, Cole came out on the ramp. He was bragging about his win, still dressed to wrestle. He demanded to be referred to as Mr. WrestleMania. Lawler interrupted and said, "I made you tap out Michael Cole and you were crying like a little girl. You'll forever be known as a worthless jackass." To which Cole replied, "Way to be a mature adult, Jerry." Mm. I laughed. He challenged Lawler to a rematch. Lawler immediately accepted. Cole said, "Well, not with me. I meant with, why would I do that? I've already beaten you," he said. That made me laugh. So we had Lawler versus Swagger. Lawler had the match won. He was going to hit the fist drop, but he chose to go after Cole instead. Chased him out of and back into the ring, and Swagger tapped him in the ankle lock for the win. And then, just like at Mania, Swagger got DQ'd, and Lawler won instead. There's the Mania finish in reverse. Honestly, I have no idea why they did it in either match. Just a time waster. So Cole was outraged. Swagger was disqualified for destroying Lawler, so he was off the show. Cole then went into the rebuilt coal mine. He found barbecue sauce waiting for him. He was outraged. He sprayed Jim Ross with barbecue sauce. Jim Ross got up to chase him away. Cole fled. JR stalked him. They went to commercial. And when they came back, the commentary was Booker, Josh, and Cole.
You know, people are going to be upset that I'm going to bring this up, but it's my show. I don't care. So, remember a couple of weeks ago I did the quiz with you if Brodus Clay and Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger and Miz were in front of a cheeseburger and you had to get it, who would you go through?
Mm-hmm.
And you chose the Miz?
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right, here's today's quiz. If there was a burger and in order to get through it you either had to go through Miz or Jim Ross after having barbecue sauce shot in his eyeball. Who would you go through?
I'm afraid I would still go through Jim Ross.
Really? I don't know. When Jim Ross got that spray in his eye and he threw that fucking Gatorade at Cole and
he was
and began to
off,
stalk Cole.
He was a pissed off grumpy Okie.
I'd back away from this man right about now if I were you.
No argument. Now, that being said, why did he disappear? He could not commentate with a barbecue-stained shirt?
Apparently, it went in his eye.
I didn't stop him from...
I don't know. You're asking me?
I don't know. So, yes,
this was booked literally at the last... Literally the last minute.
And, yeah, it sucked. So, then we also had Cole on commentary instead of Jim Ross, which sucks. In fact, as my notes read here, Booker and Josh and Cole are now on commentary. Fuck. I closed that window, right? Yes, okay, good. And... a completely pointless Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes and CM Punk match. Went through two commercial breaks, and then Cody lost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't book this stuff. Don't ask me.
I don't either. Clearly, they don't want anyone to get over ever. Had an Austin bumped into Hunter backstage. There's a moment of tension, but then Austin said that if you do that hell of a match, if it happens again next year, I'll be there. One more Sin Cara video. Then we had a segment with Steve Austin and the Tough Enough Geeks. Austin Aries was rejected for this show.
Yeah. We'll talk about Tough Enough here in a bit.
I did watch it. It was literally the last thing I did before heading over, but yeah, the only person who came out positive is the Mississippi guy who got the Southern people into him.
Sure.
The other 11 or 13, whatever it is, complete tools. Just tools. This is what caused the fans to chant, stun them all, stun them all. Miz finally interrupted. I've never been so happy to see him. Just get these geeks off my show. Riley was in a tuxedo for Christ knows what reason. They replayed clips of Miz's head bouncing off the cement. It looked like it sucked. So he ran down Tough Enough, talked about how he was on it once, and he is now champion, but none of these people would ever get this close to a championship again. He ended up getting in Steve Austin's face and challenging him to a match. Austin accepted. They immediately jumped on him 2-on-1, but Miz bailed and left Riley to die.
Of course.
And he did. Riley was killed. And then also, there was a microphone right in the middle of the fucking ring. And Riley, you know, was almost walking on it, and he just left it there. And they're doing spots like the Fez press and everything, almost falling right on the mic over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on the show, I think it was seen in Rock, but there was one time a mic was in the ring, and whoever was next to it just calmly shoved it out of the way with his foot. It's not that hard.
Apparently it is.
So, yeah, Riley's a geek. And Miz... Okay, if you're Steve Austin...
By the way, you know who I saw at the WrestleMania hotel walking around?
Chavo Guerrero.
Riley.
How was he?
Absolutely exactly like on television. He wasn't wearing a tuxedo.
Was he wearing a Letterman's jacket?
No, almost as bad. You know, the t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops in the middle of the hotel.
I see.
Not the dress code, I might add. But I think they were okay on Wednesday not dressing up like that.
Mm. So, yes, if you're Steve Austin, you decide, you know what, maybe there's a...
He's really tall.
Riley?
Doesn't surprise
me at all.
Deceptively tall.
Well, he's several inches taller than Miz.
I guess so. I never realized how tall he was until I saw him walking around. Maybe it was just because he was with this girl who was really short. That could also be.
Could be too, but yeah, I would bet he's at least 6'4".
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Easy.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, if you're Steve Austin, you get the itch and you decide, you know, I got one more match in me. Do you want it to be with The Miz?
It's not going
to
be with The Miz. If he does one more, it'll be with Punk, actually.
That would be better. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where they were going with this. This segment left me thinking, are they going to do Austin versus Miz at Extreme Rules? And I knew the answer was no, but I couldn't think of what the hell is the point of this was. So that was that. Alberto squashed Evan Bourne. They aired a commercial for the new DX video that called them, quote, the most entertaining duo ever. Abbott and Costello?
No! Wrong!
Just thought I'd throw that out there. We had,
Me and you?
No. Actually, we're not. Have you seen... Never mind. We have... Vicky came out. She blamed Laycool for the loss. We got Dolph and Vicky versus Trish and John Morrison. I guess Trish is just part of the roster now. Is she just full-time back?
Well, they needed her there to do the Tough Enough deal.
I see. So, I didn't know that Trish wrestling Vicky was significantly better than Jerry Lawler wrestling Michael Cole at WrestleMania. And then Morrison pinned Dolph for the Starship Pain, so there's that. Sheamus and Bryan came out. The poor fuckers got new gear for Mania. Didn't get to wear it for the show. They had a 4-minute match. Sheamus won with the brogue kick. And one of the commentators said, Daniel Bryan was fighting an uphill battle there from the beginning. I can't argue at all. So Sheamus went to beat up Daniel Bryan more when who should make the save but Sin Cara?
Mm-hmm.
His music played. He stood there on the ramp. Sheamus stared at him, not sure what to do. And Cara came down for his big flashy entrance. Almost botched it. I suspect this entrance will not be done too much longer. And fortunately, after that, all his offense looked great. We talked about how maybe a mistake to put him on Raw and who he would work with. Well, for 3 spots, his work with Sheamus was awesome. So, I gave this a win. I thought this went about as well as could have been expected. And then we had the Cena Rock segment. John Cena Not only did he not care that he lost, he actually acknowledged that a draw in the WrestleMania main event would have, and I quote, sucked donkeys.
That's what he said.
That was his exact words.
He was right.
Well, yes.
It would have sucked donkeys.
It would have sucked donkeys. And then he said he congratulated Miz on his win, but said he was still annoying, and quote, I hope I never get another chance to face you again.
Odd remark.
Perhaps he feels no responsibility for the shitty match they had. I'm guessing. That's what the man said. I'm conjecturing? Speculating from there. Then he talked about how Miz had earned all of our respect. I didn't know how.
I have absolutely no idea how.
He got it beat up.
The best answer I received from asking the same question yesterday was people said that perhaps Cena was being sarcastic.
Poorly.
I guess.
I swear I've seen him do sarcasm better than this before. Mm-hmm. Maybe he earned respect for walking around after getting a concussion at Mania. So, eventually he called out Rock. In the process, taking a shot at him for talking so damn much at Mania, which made his match shorter. I didn't even talk about that. Rock opened Mania with a very long promo. It was fine.
It was awesome live.
On TV, it was... This was something that I could have seen on Raw.
These people peed themselves for this.
Yeah. So anyway, I suspect he also went long, which was one of many things that caused Cena's match to get cut. So anyway, Rock said that Cena had it... he had the ass-whooping coming after his remarks about Rock. But make no mistake, he respected Cena... How hard he worked, all he accomplished, but that didn't mean he liked him. Said the only thing they had in common was that they both wanted to be the best at whatever they did. So Cena finally interrupted him and said, look, the people just want us to wrestle. And why don't we have a match? So Rock accepted, but only if they do the match for WrestleMania next year. And honestly, it did not get the reaction you would think. Maybe the fans were just disappointed they were going to have Rock versus Cena unannounced live on Raw in front of them.
Well, obviously that's why. We're going to do this match next year in another town. Don't know what to tell you guys.
They really thought they were going to do the match in front of them.
Well, I'm sure they thought they'd
I find that even harder to believe than people thought Taker would lose.
They could have thought maybe we're going to get a Rock Bottom.
Mm.
Maybe we're going to get a People's Elbow. No, they got a handshake.
Well, eventually they got the Rock Bottom and People's Elbow. It was just on the core.
Hmm.
So, yes.
Why did the core run in, by the way?
So the core ran in, Brian, just so Cena and Rock would have geeks to beat up and put their moves on. That's the answer.
Hmm. All right.
So, yeah. And, yes, and here is where I noted, Cena, not being a tool, kicks the mic out of the ring. So say what you will about John Cena, Brian, but he is better than Alex Riley.
He's smart. Wow, fuck.
Yes.
He's smart enough to remove debris that he could get hurt on.
Right.
Wow, fuck. After 10 years, you got to be kidding me. All right, let's play a song here, and then we will talk about Tough Enough. What a show that was. Here we go. When is the... Have you ever seen Vince in his natural environment?
That was a stupid question.
It's just
one of those things where
you don't want to wake up. Everything is
fucking shitty.
Everybody
sucked on her tits.
You don't really
what?
Know
why,
but you want to justify ripping someone's
penis
off. It's all about the penis and
bullshit.
I think you better quit. Let
shit
slip.
Or you'll be fucked in the ass every week. Where the hell is the fucking Hall of Fame?
Fuck off.
That's what people want to live right now. There's people doing play-by-play on the site. I cannot see the goddamn thing. Fucking drive me crazy. Play to the fucking Hall of Fame. What is this? There are all these watch links. There's a webcast link. I click on this. Ad. Why? Where is it?
Fuck your fucking face tonight. It's all about the heat.
Bullshit. Give a bunch of dudes blowjobs.
So come and get it.
Fuckers. This Ryan put a lot of work into that tune.
I enjoyed that.
Ryan Morris is responsible for that. Brian Breaking Stuff, it's called. So, Tough Enough, everyone. Quite a show. As noted yesterday, I hated this show for 45 minutes. Hated it.
That's completely fair.
And in the last 15 minutes, I loved it. This actually went from a show I hated to a show I loved. It was amazing, really, how quickly the tide turned. All thanks to Stone Cold Steve Austin. And really, quite frankly, in hindsight, the reason that Stone Cold Steve Austin's promos were so great was because I'd watched the first 45 minutes. So, I guess in the end, I would have to say the show as a whole was a success. Had I not seen that first 45 minutes, which I hated, I would not have enjoyed nearly as much Stone Cold Steve Austin cutting a promo on three dorks.
That's your view.
That's what I've got to say.
All right.
As my introduction, Vinny.
The everything that was not in a wrestling ring, I passionately hated. I could, even the promos by Austin at the end, I could not justify watching these geeks just be themselves. And a lot of it, clearly the show was very, very strongly influenced by Ultimate Fighter. The shots of the house, the shots of even just the sign outside the building. It looked like the exact same camera crew was there. But when they'll do these little personal monologues, basically. And when they do this with Ultimate Fighter, they will suddenly put a camera in front of them, ask them a question, and take the results. On Tough Enough, they're cutting these. I don't know if they're scripted, but clearly they're doing very forced read-throughs of promos. They're saying what they are told to say. Maybe they're writing on their own. I don't know. But the point is, it came off as very, very phony. It's a bunch of bad actors doing bad acting. And it sucked. Then watch them interact with each other. I immediately hated almost all of them. Matt Cross, to his credit, was nearly invisible on the show. Because he didn't fuck anything up. Nor was he obnoxious or irritating. Then when they got into training, I was like, okay, this is decent. You can watch people suck and how out of shape they are and how much they cannot do what they claim they can do. The only thing I will say is that if you've never run the ropes, running the ropes for 3 minutes would in fact be hard.
Yeah.
That is not an easy thing to do.
You know what, though?
They should have, and some did, shown up in good enough shape to run the ropes for 3 minutes.
Well, there is that, but
That's not 3 minutes on a treadmill. In fact, there was a point in one of the drills where Austin said, it's not a marathon, it's a sprint. And I thought, yeah, it's a sprint for 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
You know, it's just that, first off, it's a reality show. So all of the stuff in the house, I just call bullshit on. It's all scripted. It's all stupid. And, you know, I'm not a fan of reality shows in general. And, you know, Ultimate Fighter, got a love-hate relationship with that show. To me, it all depends on the coaches. Because the shit in the house is almost always the same. These guys drink. They get mad at each other.
Yeah.
They say some shit. They do some pranks.
Did you watch the first episode of that show, by the way?
No, not yet.
The only notable thing on that entire show, a guy on Brock's team hurt his knee and had to leave the competition. He hurt his knee. They were grappling, and a guy applied a real pro wrestling move that hurt the guy's knee. And the pro wrestling move was a schoolboy. Somehow, in this schoolboy, the guy taking the fall tore his ACL. I watched this about 6 times trying to figure it out. But yes, other than that, it was every Ultimate Fighter episode ever.
You know, this guy in my jiu-jitsu class one day had gone down to, I forget where he went, but he came back and the big move that he was trying to work on was the reverse knee on the belly. And maybe this won't make any sense to anybody who doesn't do jiu-jitsu, but there's a regular knee on the belly where you're basically face-to-face with the guy on his back and you put your knee
on his belly,
across his belly. And then there was this reverse knee on the belly this guy was working on where you're actually facing the opposite direction and you've got your knee across the belly. It's very, you know, people aren't expecting you to do a reverse knee on the belly. So he's doing this move, and there's like all sorts of things you can do out of it. You can armbar a guy out of it. You can mount a guy out of it. You can kimura the guy out of it. And you know, everybody in the class is like, you know, this guy was like a brown belt. So he's coming up with this new move, and everybody's just like, Jesus, I don't know what to do when this guy's got his reverse knee on the belly. It was such an unorthodox position. And I found the escape, which was a fucking schoolboy.
Yeah.
Straight out of pro wrestling. I schoolboyed this fool, and I got out of the reverse knee on the belly. So, suffice to say, pro wrestling moves very effective.
Yes.
In yeah.
They're all based on some sort of reality.
And I realize that it doesn't really count, but the other day in class, I was messing around with my buddy Phil, and I fucking put him in a figure four leg lock. I'm not even kidding. I think we were just sort of playing around. We weren't really rolling. We were just kind of messing around, and I grabbed his leg and maybe thought I was going to show him a move or something, but I fucking put him in I swear to God, a figure four, and he tapped out. It was a great moment. So I still have to do it when rolling at some point. But I considered this one. I didn't tell him not to move or anything like that. I just feel that I caught him off guard. I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, one being pro wrestling and 10 being like a shoot figure four and rolling, this would have been about a 6.5 or a 7. So I was very proud.
Well, congratulations.
What the hell was the point of all this?
We're talking about tough
enough. Oh, the schoolboy. That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, point is, in the house, I just figured it was all bullshit. And then...
Whether it is fake or not is irrelevant. It sucks. It is unwatchable shit.
My pet peeve when watching wrestling training, and maybe Lance will disagree, or other people listening to this who either are trained or are training or have trained guys, but... the bullshit, the conditioning, and, you know, do 1,000 push-ups and do 1,000 squats. It's all bullshit. It's my pet peeve. You know, I can understand, yes, you need to be in shape. You know, it probably does help to run the ropes for 3 minutes straight, okay? But is anybody going to actually run the ropes for 3 minutes straight in a match? More than once in a lifetime, doing a really bad comedy spot? No. No one's actually going to do that. So, to me, you know, if people... let's say I'm going to come back to wrestling, right? Or anybody is. They've been out of action for a year. Why do they say you got to get in the ring to shake off the ring rust? Number one, some people get ring rust, and they just got to get back in the ring. And number two, running on the treadmill and shit like that, that's all fine and good. But it's a whole different ball game when you're going from running, you know, a couple miles on the treadmill every day to getting in the damn ring and doing a match. It's a totally different thing. So to me, whether it be, you know, rolling in jiu-jitsu or doing pro wrestling, if you want to be in shape to do that, then you just do that. You know, if you want to be in shape to roll every fucking day. If you want to be in shape to do a wrestling match, get your ass in the ring with somebody and do wrestling matches every day, and pretty soon you'll be in ring shape. But the idea that, okay, do 500 Hindu squats, this is going to help your wrestling career. Really? Why don't you tell me how many people graduated from the fucking power plant and went on to become anything?
I believe it is one.
And people are going to say, well, Diamond Dallas Page didn't do any of that fucking calisthenics bullshit. You could probably ask him. He just went in there all the time and worked out in the ring. But I don't know. It's just, I realize they're not going to show like the inner workings of wrestling and this sort of thing. That's all fine and dandy. But I just think it's always so dumb that, you know, whether or not you can be the next Steve Austin is dependent on whether you can run the fucking ropes for 3 minutes straight. You know, why don't you put Steve Austin there and have him run the ropes for 3 minutes straight? I bet he's never done it in his life. And if he did, he probably vomited afterwards. He'd probably admit that too. It drives me nuts. It's so stupid. Like, you know, it'd be one thing if it was, everyone's going to have a promo contest. Whoever cuts the worst promo, you're in danger of being cut. At least that's something you're actually going to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A promo contest or, hey, do a fucking match. And whoever does the best match doesn't get eliminated. You know, that's stuff I can all see, but, you know, you got to run the ropes for 3 minutes, and if you get too tired, you're on the verge of being cut. That's just idiotic.
Hmm.
It did weed out the people that weren't in shape, though. That was at least good. The dipshits that didn't show up in shape should just have been eliminated immediately. And the girl who said Alicia Fox versus Melina.
That was a great moment when she said that was the best match she ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's reaction to this, he cannot process. His mind, his world stopped.
Yeah.
As he tried to regain his bearings.
Listen. Everyone knows from listening to this show, because I get angry about it all the time, I am not a fan of violence against women. But he should have gave her the stunner when she said that. That's all I could think.
I was wondering where you're going with this, considering Steve Austin was in the ring.
Well, I know there's that problem as well, but Jesus Christ, when he said, "What's your favorite match of all time?" and she said, "Melina versus Alicia Fox," and Austin's brain short-circuited. Yes. I thought, if ever there was a time to just give a person a stunner, now is the time.
Yes.
But it didn't happen.
And the girl who claimed to have been doing it, or at least had done it 11 years ago, I think she was saved by that moment of stupidity.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's next. For sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Every indie geek, that girl right there. I've been in the business for 11 years. Yeah, really?
How many matches you had?
11 years, you say.
Yeah. There's actual hope for perhaps three of these people.
Yeah.
Maybe four if you're generous, but... It is what it is. They're not really trying to find the next star. They are trying to make a TV show about it.
Well, I think they are, actually, but what a crop they've got here.
By the way, are they still doing this show and NXT at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
NXT's on the internet, and it gets 3,000 downloads.
All right, whatever.
No one watches that show.
Well, I was flabbergasted at the rating this show did.
You know... Some people are like to think that people actually do watch that show, and I noted the other day that when I got the NXT video off the official WWE version of NXT, I put on the front page like a day after it went up, and it had 3,000 views, and people are like, oh, you know, I saw a version that had like, you know, 150,000 views. People watch this fucking show. Do you ever hear anyone talking about NXT?
No.
Never. I think I hear people talk more about superstars, although I guess that is on television. But no one's watching NXT, everybody. But they are doing it, in fact, in association with Tough Enough. So, yeah, promos of the end were awesome. That's the highlight of the show for me. I actually cannot wait till next week's show to see Austin bury some more geeks for doing stupid shit. And hopefully it doesn't wear out its welcome. Showed it a good rating this week. Really good. Actually, a remarkable rating.
As I said, I was flabbergasted.
For 11 to midnight. Well, you know, it did air after Raw.
It did have Steve Austin on it.
Yeah.
And honestly, there was a lot of people like this, if you just want to see Steve Austin being Steve Austin, this may be a better show for you than what's on Raw these days.
I don't want to downplay the ratings, but, you know, Strikeforce used to air on NBC, and it got decent ratings for 2 o'clock a.m., but it was also coming like right after Saturday Night Live, and people would fall asleep or they would just turn off their television and still be on the channel. And that's one of the reasons the rating was so high. Nobody actually watched that show. I mean, nobody ever talked to us about that show. So with Tough Enough, you know, that's why next week is going to be interesting when they have the showing at 8. Because people are actually going to have to go out of their way to remember to turn on the TV an hour earlier.
Yes.
And whenever they do a 3-hour Raw, nobody ever remembers. So that's going to be pretty interesting. And then... you know, it's easy to get a good rating for a combat sporting event after Raw. You know, that's how Ultimate Fighter. That's why we have UFC today. That's why UFC is kicking WWE's ass. Because, Vince was asked if he had any problems with UFC airing on the network when he had an exclusive. And he said, go for it.
That is funny.
And how about that?
It's worked out. And he's still making money.
How about that? Wow. All righty. Well, I guess we're going to do some shout-outs here, unless you have anything more to say about...
I have one thing I want to say about one of the shows we missed. I will try to get this done in 2 or 3 minutes. I watched Impact. It was very, very slightly better than it had been in recent weeks, so still awful. But there was a promo here that I'm just going to read. You see, on this show, Matt Hardy and Bubba Ray and Abyss were beating up babyfaces in a cage... When Christopher Daniels returned, he climbed the outside of the cage and wiped them all out with a dive. And after they went to commercial, they came back, they showed the replay several times, and then they cut to the backstage where Ric Flair cut this promo. Now, I am not Ric Flair, but imagine Crazy Flair doing this promo. Who is that pissant? Who just jumped off the top of the cage? Who is that? Who is that pissant? Jesus Christ, I am a goddamn wrestling god. I don't even know who that is. At this point, Abyss walked up and politely and calmly said, "It's Christopher Daniels. He's AJ Styles' best friend." To which Flair replied, "Oh, AJ Styles' best friend. He weighs 140 pounds. What just happened? Jesus.
Wow.
So
I presume that was not written for Ric Flair.
I don't think Ric Flair was even told that a guy would be coming in to dive off the cage, let alone who it would be. Because, yes, he clearly had no idea who this man was. He may have thought it was a bald athletic fan.
Yeah.
But it was awesome.
I'll have to find that one. I think I've already deleted Impact.
It's
so funny with I can't just say Impact because I didn't miss SmackDown either, but
the highlight of SmackDown was how goddamn awful the Bella Twins were.
Really?
They were doing voiceovers for Access, and it was... I have never missed ECW Tiffany so much. That's all I can say.
Hmm. Well, everybody, let's do some shout-outs. I actually don't even know... What the hell was that noise?
My bad, sorry.
What are you doing over there?
I got this... the iPhone dealie that you plug it in, that you plugs in the wall, then you take it off and you can plug it into your computer... I took that off, and then I just started messing with it and dropped it, and it's square, so it made a very loud noise in your table. I'll put it down now.
Oh, Vinny, what am I going to do with you? All right, I think we do have some shout-outs, but only a couple. It looks like, let's see, when was the last show we did? The last show we did was the 22nd. So, I think we want, got a couple of them here. Let's see. I think this guy's actually trying to get me to, this is from Salvatore.
Sincere?
Apparently he sent me two shout-outs, but he wants me to read a shortened version of them. Are you ready?
Break it down.
Here we go. I'm using my shout-out to tell you that I fucking hate Garfunkel and Oates. That's it.
That's all you had to say? Wow.
Yes.
All right. Well, I disagree, but he's welcome to his opinion.
Salvatore? Thank you for subscribing, my friend.
Let it be known that Salvatore fucking hates Garfunkel and Oates.
Yeah. Oh, I think there's a little more. Also, Easy Money still owes me for a pair of tights I paid for in 06. Thanks, B&V. Maybe that is Salvatore sincere.
Actually... I was joking, but hey.
How about that?
Huh.
All right, Salvatore Sincere.
We're assuming it's you.
Thank you for listening. Yeah, by the way, if you sign up, everybody, you get a free shout-out. And as noted, we're at our world record today in terms of people signed up to the website. So, as noted, next year we're going to WrestleMania. All of us here on the website. We're going to have a million people there. So join in. It's going to be a fun time. It's all up on the board. We have a members-only board. And if you go up there, there's an area called Empire Get-Togethers. And at the top of the page here, we have got official WrestleMania 28 meetup thread, which is, in fact, already 2 pages long, filled with people who are already RSVPing. So... going to be a fun time, everyone. But you can only get that information if you sign up. And, of course, you get full access to all of our radio shows as well, and we've done a million of them. In fact, leading up to WrestleMania, we did Writers Week. We had, I believe, 6 total former WWE writers coming on to tell you, the listener, how insane, how batshit crazy Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon are. And much, much more. So anyway, if you missed those, just jump into the archives, seeing as that we have thousands of shows. Every show we've ever done, dating back to 2005, is in the archives right now. So, suffice to say, now would be a great time to sign up, everybody. And if you do, as noted, you get a shout-out, such as this one right here. My username is Stevie Knight, and I've not had a shout-out, despite being subscribed for quite a while. So I just wanted to get my shout-out in and say thanks for all the hard work you do. Your shows are the only reason I still am a subscriber, my friend. You're an absolute legend. All hail Brian Alvarez. That's from Steve White in the UK, and I swear to God I'm not making that up.
Strong words.
A man who knows talent when he hears it. And one more here. From Richard. First of all, keep doing what you're doing. The Brian and Vinny Show is my favorite of all the shows. Shout out goes to me, mainly, Richard Hutchings.
Has anyone done that before? A shout-out to themselves.
It's rare.
I mean, need more of that.
I haven't used the board yet, so I have no one to shout-out to. Do we get to ask questions here? I'll give it a shot anyway. What do you and Vinny think of the tear apart Ian Rotten got in the recent radio interview that he did? It was brutal. You should get him on your show. I'm going now. I'm going to make cheese on toast. Richard from Wales.
I don't have any idea what he's talking about on Ian Rotten.
Just a word count. Realize I'm only up to 97. So a big shout out to all the guys in the wrestling subforum at mingleville.com. Top boys, he calls them. Top boys? Well, Glad's not listening.
Well, he may be speaking literally.
Now, the Ian Rotten interview. I actually have not heard the Ian Rotten interview.
What happened?
I have heard a lot about it.
I haven't.
Well,
Did he say dumb things? Did someone say dumb things about him?
It was a contentious episode of a radio show.
So he was on it, and he had a disagreement with the host.
A lot of hurt feelings.
Hmm.
Accusations, as they say.
Ian Rotten?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
So, I haven't heard it, but apparently you can probably Google it and find it. And it was something else, I'm told. It was something else. So anyway, I want to thank Richard for the shout-out, and thank all of you for sending in your shout-outs.
Cheese on toast sounds delicious also.
Cheese on toast. Oh, and guess what? I've just received word. Do you know what match is likely for next week on Raw? And keep in mind that, as we've said a million times, these things change. Actually, this past weekend, I think Vince may have changed his mind more times than the number of radio shows we've done since 2005. With that said, guess what match may be taking place Monday on Raw?
Cena versus Miz?
Perhaps better.
I don't even know what that means. Cena versus Orton?
Melina versus Alicia Fox!
You don't say.
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that.
There you go.
Maybe they can top their classic.
There you go. Alrighty, let's play one last song here. Let's go back to, what have we not played for a while? Did we play the Call It Off 2011 mix? I think we did. I think it's long, but let's play it.
Something must be done.
You say...
Dan Gable.
I say...
Kurt Angle.
You say...
You manga!
I say...
Umaga.
Dan Gable. Kurt Angle.
You manga!
Umaga. Let's call the whole thing off. Yes, you like...
Sin Cara.
I like...
Sin Cara.
You like...
Pangea.
I like...
Mangina.
Sin Cara. Sin Cara.
Pangea. Mangina.
Let's call the whole thing off. But oh,
still have no idea what that's what's happening in that song.
I enjoy it.
It's quite great. All right, everybody, that is it from here. The next couple of days. Tomorrow, Joe Warren of Bellator is going to be on with myself and Josh Nason. Dr. Lucha returns. And we've got a Wrestling Observer Radio. I came back and thought I would catch up, and now I've got three shows.
What happened there?
I swear to God, I can't tell you. Then on Thursday, I believe, Todd Martin returns to the program. Lance Storm will be on next week, for those of you that are... He's actually going to Hawaii. He's going on a vacation.
Good for him.
So he'll come back and tell us how the Big Island was. And then on Friday, if I can get caught up, we'll have a new After Dark. But I've got to get caught up before I focus on After Dark. Fortunately, we have got priorities here, and sadly, After Dark is lower on the totem pole than WrestleMania coverage. So, anyway, that is it from here, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again later on.
Bye.